We begin the current daf from Sechs B'sachim daf Mem Vav. We begin on the bottom of Mehaven Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, specifically the Mishnah on the previous daf on Amud Aleph that had two different components regarding the same area of discussion. That is, talking about the dough that's left over in the Sidke Areva in the cracks in the trough. And that is, you have dough that's left over. And that is, the Mishnah differentiated if you have to go ahead and eliminate this dough that's chametz before Pesach or not. If it's, let's say, less than a kezias, or if it's insignificant, that is, you want to keep it there to, let's say, clog up the holes in the cracks, then you don't have to eliminate it. However, if it is going to be more than a kezias, or it's going to be something that insignificant that you don't want it over there, you don't need it, then you're going to have to go ahead and eliminate it before Pesach. Then the Mishnah concluded by saying, V'chein le'inyat tumah. The same thing is regarding the halachas of tumah. And that is, what does that mean? The same thing will regard the halachas of tumah regarding the dough that's in the cracks in the trough. That is, im makbid alav, if the person's particular about this dough in the cracks, and that is, he doesn't want it there, he would want to get rid of it, then chaitzis, then that's going to be considered interposition, and therefore, if you're going to go ahead and do a tefillah, if let's say this became tumah and you want to immerse it, that dough is going to be something considered external from that, and therefore it's going to be chatzitza, and you're going to have to get rid of it before doing the tefillah. Whereas Mimreitzbekuma, if he wants it to stay there, he wants it, let's say, to stay in the cracks to fill up the holes that things shouldn't leak out, then Arei Kareva, then we consider the dough as part of the trough itself, and it's not a chatzitza, and then you could tovel it even with the dough there in the cracks. So that was what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara asks a seemingly obvious question, and that is, mi dummy? Are the two halachas of regarding being mevar that chametz of the dough in the cracks, regarding halachas of tumah of the keli, of immersing it, do we consider the dough as separate or not, to then say the term of v'chein, that you know what, that what we just mentioned regarding the halachas of Pesach, the same applies to tumah? What do you mean? Hasim over there by the halachas of Pesach, b'shiura. It what it depends on is the measurements of if it's a kezias or less than a kezias talya milsa. That's what the halacha hinges on. That's what our Mishnah had said. If it's a kezias, then it would be considered significant and you would have to eliminate it. Less than kezias is insignificant and you don't have to eliminate it. Whereas hach over here by the halachas of tumah b'kpeid talya milsa. It doesn't depend on whether it's a lot or a little. It just depends. If you're particular about it, then it's going to be considered a chatzitza as separate. Whereas if you're not particular, you want it to stay there, then it's not a chatzitza. So how could we say v'chein? Another Gemara gives many different answers to this question. Am Rabbi Huda first answers. He says, Ema, you're right. Say ulenya tumah einochein. Don't say v'chein. Say rather, but however, regarding the halachas of tumah, it's not like the criteria that was said regarding Pesach. Although by Pesach we said it depends how much. Regarding tumah, it has nothing to do with that. If you want to go ahead and immerse it, if it's a chatzitza, no, it would depend if it bothers you or not. That would be the criteria. But only Abaya responded to him, what do you mean? Havachin la inya tumah katani. If you read the words in the Mishnah, it says, and also, similarly, the same halacha applies to tumah, which is not true. They're not similar, they're different. And you can't say that it's not like that because the words are saying that it is the same. Elam Abaya, rather, Abaya says hachikam. And this is what the Mishnah was saying. Vachin and so too, and we continue at the top of Membav and Alv, la inya tziruf tumah bepesach. What we're talking about is that regarding the combinations of items for the halacha of tumah on Pesach, as the Gemara will elaborate in a moment, that on Pesach, you're right, that would depend on the measurement, how much it is regarding the halachas of tumah. As he explains, that would be on Pesach. Whereas b'shayim oisashana ikaplok, it's only regarding other days of the year, not on Pesach, that then there would be that differentiation whether if you're particular or you're not particular. And that's what the seif of the Mishnah is ending off when it says imak b'dalav, you're right. Regarding the rest of the year, it doesn't depend on you. It depends if you're particular or not. However, it's not a contradiction when we say v'chein. What we mean by v'chein is that on Pesach, le'inyan tumah, that would be the same depending on the share of a kezias or not, as we said regarding the halacha of being revar, of eliminating the chametz and not. As the Gemara explains, hey chedami, what does this mean? How are we explaining this? We're talking about, for example, let's say there was less than an egg's worth a volume of food, which is the minimum share that's necessary for the halacha of transferring tumah to food items. The nagu b'hai batzik, so you have less than the requisite share. Now that food item goes in and touches the dough. And we're talking about the dough that's stuck and it's in the cracks of the trough. Now then tumah touches these items and they become tummy. Then they go ahead and they touch tahar, pure food items. So therefore, the halach is bePesach the isur chashiv on Pesach, where the isur of chametz makes that dough significant, and that is because, as the beginning of the Mishnah said, that since we're talking about kezayis, which is has a chashibas, has significance regarding the Isra of Chametz, where therefore it does not become batal, nullified to the Arabia, to the trough, as what the ratio of the Mishnah said. Therefore, that's what the Mishnah means when it says v'chein le'inyan tuma, that also we're going to say that this kezayis of food, which is of the dough, does not become batal to the trough, and therefore mitzdarf, therefore it joins together with those other food items that were, let's say, a little bit less than the kebeya. Now this kezayis will complete it to the share of a kebeya. Even if you're not particular about it, doesn't make a difference, it will still complete it because it has significance of its own based on the virtue that it's kezayis of chametz on Pesach, and therefore together now they're a kebeya, and they will be metame the other food items because it could convey tuma just in, by the virtue of it being a beya. However, b'shayim ma'isashana, on the other days of the year, when you don't have this concept of isurim mechashve, that its prohibition makes it significant, because there is no prohibition of having dough that is chametz on the rest of the year. There, that's what the Mishnah ends off, the b'kepei detalim, so there it does depend if you're particular, if it bothers you or not. And that is imak b'dalav mitzdarf. If it bothers you, then we're going to say that it will join together with the rest of the food items. And the reason is because since you don't want to stay there in the cracks, in other words, it's part, you're particular, you want it out, so you consider it a food item because you're going to end up taking it out. And therefore, it could combine with other food items. However, if you want it to stay there, then we consider it as already part of the trough, like a piece of wood or whatever the trough is made of. And therefore, we don't consider it as a food item anymore as a dough. And hence, it will not combine to create the shear of Thomas Eichem of a Kebeya. And again, that's what Abai was answering, that his approach is that it is v'chein l'nei tuma, of when does it depend on kezayis or not kezayis. On Pesach, that's related to halachas of tuma because it gets the significance now of a shame eichel, but that's only on Pesach. But the rest of the year is what the Mishnah ended off, that by tuma then it would be tali in makbid or not makbid. On that maskev l'Rava, Rava asked in Abai's interpretation, mikutani mitzdarif? Did we say when we said, and similarly, the same thing would apply to halachas of tuma, that regarding combining food items, which is when it's less than the kebeya, with this kezayis of dough here, that they join together, that's what mechein lin and tuma will apply on Pesach, depending on if it's a kezayis or not, because then it's chashav and we don't see it as part of the trough or not. But v'hochaitz is ketani. But it says that it's regarding halachas of it being considered a chatzitza. And that's why we said it's going to depend on shear of kezayis or not. In other words, regarding what you're saying, it's not regarding it being considered a chatzitza. You're saying it's regarding if it could combine with these other food items that are less than the kebeya, that will depend if it's a kezayis or not. However, but that's not the case that the Mishnah is talking about. When it says v'chein lin tuma, it says regarding if it's going to be considered a chatzitza or not, and that doesn't go well with your explanation. So El Amar Rava, what Rava does, he says similar to Abaya, and the other tourism will do the same, but just tweaks a little bit so that it works better with the case conceptualization of our Mishnah. Says v'chein lahalois tahara la'areva. Rather, what the case was talking about, and that the shear of a kezayis would also be applicable for the lachas of tumi in what type of way to then go ahead and be matar to purify the trough. That will depend on Pesach if it's going to have the shear of a kezayis or not. Whereas when it says at the end of the Mishnah the imakbatlav that it depends on hakpada if it bothers you or not, if you're particular, if you want it there or not, that was going on the rest of the days of the year. Again, similar to what Abaye had differentiated in that case of Achin Tuma, that it was first talking about Pesach, and the second part of the statement was talking about the rest of the year. As the Gemara explains, Hechadami, what is this case according to Rava? We're talking about that the Areva, the trough, became Tami. Uboyalat Fule, and now you go have to go ahead and tivel it and immerse it in the mikvah to purify it. So therefore, b'Pesach, on Pesach, so since with a kezayis of chametz, of dough, you're going to be over on it, and we're talking about that it's in the walls, the isurei chashim, where the isur of a kezayis of chametz makes it significant, and that is by default you have to remove it, as we had said in the first part of the Mishnah, you have to be mevatlet. So therefore, chaitzis, therefore we consider it as something that has to be removed. Obviously, it's not part of the trough itself because you're going to have to take it away. So therefore, it interposes for the tefillah, for the immersion. And v'lo yisalkel tefillah, and therefore the tefillah doesn't work. Again, because it's not like the areva, even if you're not makbid about it, even though you wouldn't care to take it away, it doesn't make a difference. Because based on halacha, you have to take it away because it's a chametz of a kezayis, that it, on the walls you have to remove it. Whereas b'shayim ha'sashana, what the rest of the Mishnah was saying, that regarding the rest of the days of the year, then whether there's a lot or a little, if there's a kezayis or not, that doesn't make a difference. That's not the criteria. Rather, b'kepei detalim, so that would depend on a person's particularity. That imak b'dalav chaitzis, if it bothers him, that means he doesn't want it there, then it would be considered chatzitza. But if he wants it to stay there, then it will be like the areva, like the trough itself. And therefore, according to Rava's explanation, although it's similar to Abaye, but it works better because it works well in what the Mishnah Mishnah was talking about, that if it's regarding the halacha of chatzitza or not, regarding if hakpada, that's regarding the rest of the year, but chatzitza would be a factor of kezayis or not regarding the halachas on Pesach. However, Maskel or Rav Papa asks a similar question on Rava. Mikutan evchein in Tara? Did our Mishnah say, and that the same halacha that we say regarding the chiyuv of eliminating the chametz will depend on kezayis or not, that the same applies to halachas of Tara, of purifying? It says that it's regarding the halachas of Tumah, of that is of for it to become defiled ritually, not to go ahead and purify, but the case you just explained was that it's going to depend on the share of kezayis or not regarding its ability or not of Tara. Elama Rapapa, well, Rapapa says similarly, but he changes it to work the most perfect for the terminology of our Mishnah. The same thing applies to go ahead and bring on Tumma onto the trough, and that would be through this dough. It would depend on Pesach in the share of a kezayis or not, not only regarding the halacha of eliminating the chametz, but even regarding the halachas of tumah. And when the Mishnah again concluded that if he's particular about or not, that was regarding the rest of the days of the year, again, as Abaye and Rav had said, but he just tweaks the case to say, hey, chedami, what is the case talking about? Kugain nenoga sheretz b'hai batzik. We're talking about that if a sheretz went ahead and touched this dough. So, b'pesach, on Pesach, when the dough is a kezayis, the Isuri Chashim, that then we say that the Isur itself gives it significance, then Chaitzis, then we say that this dough is separate, it's Chasitza between the Sheretz and the trough itself. And therefore we don't view that dough as part of the trough because you're going to have to remove it because of the Isur of Chametz. And therefore, V'loi Nochsla Tumah. So therefore, Tumah never gets settled upon the trough itself. And that is, even if you're not particular about the dough, you would want to keep it in there. It doesn't make a difference because since you have to take it away, so therefore we don't view it as part of the trough. So the only thing that actually became tummy was, in other words, when a sheretz touches the kli, it doesn't have to touch the whole kli itself, it touches one part, then everything that's a component of that becomes tummy. But since here the dough is considered a chatzitza, that means you have to remove it, so we don't view it as part, we view it as a separate entity. So the sheretz touched it, that becomes tummy, but the rest of the areva itself doesn't. However, as Rashi says, if it's less than the kezayis, then, which then the Isser does not make a chasha, then you're right, if he wouldn't be particular, we wouldn't say that, and then we would say that Reva would become tummy. However, b'shayim ha'isashan, the rest of the days of the year, the b'kpeh detai, there it depends on the person's particularity, if he wants to leave it there or not, if it's going to be considered as part of the reva or not, if the reva becomes tameh, then imak b'lav, if he's particular about it, then even if it's less than the kezayis chaitzis, it would be considered a separate entity, and hence, the reva would not become tameh. But if he wants it to stay there, then it would be like the trough itself, and then it would be as if the sheretz touched the reva itself. And again, therefore, this is the most optimal explanation, that of Rav Papa, that's what v'chein means, that just like we said, that regarding a kezayis of chametz on Pesach, it gives it a chashivas, a significance, and then you're going to have to do bir chametz on it, so too we consider it chashiv on Pesach, that we view it as its own entity, and hence, when it's regarding the halachas of tumah, it would be on Pesach that if it's a kezayis, the areva would not become tumah, but if it's less than kezayis, then the areva would become tumah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this the topic of the previous Mishnah regarding batzik of doughs regarding the halachas of chametz. So the Mishnah says batzik hacherish regarding deaf dough. Now as Rashi explains, there's two interpretations: either it's hacherish or hacheres, and that is what we're talking about. Let's say if it's a hacherish, a deaf dough, and that is, it's not recognizable in this dough if it's chametz or not, because it's different, like a cheresh, like an individual that's deaf, that he has ears. However, it's not recognizable if he hears or not, that you can't see for sure to know if he hears or not. That's one version of why it's called batzik hacheresh. Another interpretation is batzik hacheres. In other words, that it's hard like earthenware, like pottery, and therefore you can't tell if it became chametz or not. So either way, what the idea is, we're talking about a certain type of dough that we can't clarify if it's chametzik or not. So on that, the Mishnah says, "Im yesh kayotze b'shehechmetz." If there's another dough that was kneaded at the same time as this dough that already did become chametz, it's just this one that you can't tell because it's a little bit different. Hareza aser. Then we say that it's aser by virtue of the fact of the one that was made at the same time already became chametz. So we say this one also is chametz already. However, the Gemara does ask, but im ein sham kayitzei b'mahu, what do you do if you don't have another dough that was made at the same time? And again, it has this, you can't tell on its surface if it's chametz or not. What is the halacha? On that, Amr Bavo, Amr Bishimin, Bet Lakish, k'dei sheyelech adam mimigdal nunyu l'tferya. the amount of time it takes a person to go from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, which that is mil, if a mil of time went by in between, then we're going to say that it's going to be considered chametz. So the Gemara asks for name and mil. Just say that it's the shear of a mil. Why do we go ahead and we say that it's the distance of Migdal Nunya to Tveria? And that the Gemara says, Hakamashmon, that's what the Chiddush is, the shi'ur de mil. We're telling you that what is the measurement of a mil? That's kimi migdal nunya v'atveria. The amount of time it takes to walk a mil, which is the amount of time that it becomes chametz, is the same distance of migdal nunya v'atveria. We're telling you that now you'll know, in a practical application, to know what is the shi'ur of a mil. So the Gemara brings another statement from the same Amoira, Amr Bavo, Amr Bashim ben Lakish, legavel, for a kneader, and that is someone that needs other people's dough for payment. Now, the halach is that they should be particular in making that person's dough b'tahara, with purity. But let's say the vessels of the owner that gave them the dough, their keli is tamei. So if he's going to make it in their kelim, they're going to become tamei, and his priority is to make it b'tahara. So the halach is that up until 4 mil, the chachamim required the person, the kneader, to go ahead and immerse it in the mikvah, but only up to 4 mil. Similarly, with the tefillah regarding the halachas of davening, that if a person is going on the road and there came time to go to sleep and to daven, so if there's a shul that's within 4 mil of where he is, there's a chiyuv for him to continue walking up until a distance of 4 mil and then to be able to go daven in a shul. And similarly, until sidayim, same thing applies to halachas of netil sidayim, washing one's hands before one eats. That if he's going to find water within the next 4 mil, then we say we require him to continue walking and wash his hands and then to eat. And that is as the statement was, Arba Mil, and all these three things of Legavel, for the kneader, to immerse the keli in the mikvah, and Latvila, to daven in a shul, and the tilsi dam, to wash one's hand before eating, they all require a continuation of a distance of at least of 4 mil. A different version of this statement, Amr of Nachman by Yitzchak, he says, first of all, Evu Amr. This statement was said by Evu in the name of Rish Lakish, so it wasn't Reb Avohu, it was Evu. And also the Arba Amr Ba. He said 4 statements regarding the measurement of 4 mil, which are the 3 that you mentioned, and then there's a 4th one which you failed to mention. The Chadim and Ayu Ibud, and one of them is the halacha of Ibud of tanning, and that is the measurement of tanning of soft hides of leathers, that those hides are tummy like the flesh itself. And that is, although generally the hide is not considered an edible item, and therefore it will not have Tumas Eichlin, the Gemara Masechta Schulim of Kavchav Beis and Perek Oiva Reitiv discusses certain types of hides that have the same halachic status as the meat that will become Tumas Eichlin because they're soft and they can be eaten. So, however, regarding a measurement of 4 mil, that will go ahead and be mavatlit from being considered any more basar, of being considered flesh, and that's because if one tans it for that amount, that's going to be undoing it from its edibility, and therefore it's going to be considered as not as a food item to be mekabel tumah. It's not like within the Mishnah Maseches Chulin that demonstrates this halacha. The kulan, that is all these items that the Chacham had mentioned in Perek Oivah Reitim, that we said that their hide has the same halacha as its meat to become tameh of a tumas eichlin, and that is again because they're soft, and it was common for people to eat it. She'ibdon, if they were tanned, they were worked upon, or they were stepped on, the amount of it being considered worked on, and that is because the common custom was that these hides, they would spread out in front of people to walk on, and that was the beginning of the process of tanning them. Then, tahar, and they're going to be considered tahar, chutz mi arhadim, except for the skin of a person, that will not be undone by this process of working on. Now, v'kama k'dei avoda, how much is this worth of working on that will say that will undo it from it being considered an edible item to make it inedible? That is what we had said. Amr Evu, Amr Bianai, Kdei Hiluch Arba Mil. That is, if it was walked on for a worth of 4 mil, then for that, and which is a certain amount of time, then we're going to be considering that not anymore as a food item. That's also in the same category of a shear of 4 mil. So the Gemara gives a qualification, however, in this halacha. Amr Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, lo yishanu, we didn't learn this of what we spoke about, these 4 items, of a chiyuv of going a distance of 4 mil, ela lefanav, that was only in front of a person. That is, he's going on a journey, he's heading from one place to another place. So he said regarding washing his hands for a meal, or to daven in a shul, where he's walking, then we say he has to continue if he wants to retire for the night or eat his meal now, we say he has to continue another 4 mil if he knows he'll get it within 4 mil. However, as Rashi says, regarding the halacha of the gavel, of the one who has to knead and go ahead to a mikvah, for 4 mil, he would have to go even behind or in front, because for him it doesn't make a difference. He's anyway stationary in one place. So the share of 4 mil would require either one. But someone that's on a journey and he's moving in a certain direction, we wouldn't require him to go behind 4 mil. It's only for a continuation. We would require him to continue another 4 mil. Aval achrav, but behind him, a filim mil ein chayzer, and even 1 mil, we would not require him to go back to backwards in this direction to go ahead and either daven in the shul or to wash until Sinai. However, the inference is, Amar Vacha says, Mina, but you could infer from this statement of Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina, where he said explicitly that even a mil you don't have to go back, but that's necessarily milhudei nechayza. We didn't require the person to go back a mil, however, hapachas me mil chayza, but what you could infer is, but if it's less than the mil behind the person, then we would be mechayv a person that amount to go back, and hence he would be chayv for that amount, even though it's in the going back in the direction that he came from. Now the Gemara again continues on this halacha regarding does on Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Kitzad mafrishin chala b'tuma. How does a person separate chala in a state of tuma? And that is, if let's say the tuma became, the dough became tummy. And now, you can't go ahead and really and take off the dough from it that will be fit for a kain to go ahead and consume it. So the question is, how do you separate it? B'yamtiv. Specifically, the question is, regarding the halacha of yamtiv, of Pesach. And as Rashi explains, there's really three different things you can do with this dough. But each one is not a viable option on Pesach. And that is because you can't go ahead and bake it, because since it's not fit for eating, so the kohen can't go ahead and bake it to go ahead and eat it. And the reason why it's not fit for eating is because challah that becomes tamei, like old kachem that become tamei, is not fit for a kohen, and a zar for sure can't eat it. Now, to hold on to it, that leave it till evening to go ahead and burn it, you can't do that either, because in the interim, it's going to become chametz stick. And finally, the third option of either burning it or giving it to the dogs before it becomes chametz stick is also not an option, because you cannot eliminate kachem on yom tov. So the Mishnah's question is, how do we go ahead? We want to go ahead and make challah on yom tov. So you go, and that is on Pesach, we're talking about matzah. So you take the dough and you do the process, and you have to take off a portion of challah for the kain. But the question is, you can't take off the portion for the kain, because what are you going to go ahead and do with it now that it's already taken off? You can't give it to him for him to eat it, to bake it, because he can't eat it. And therefore, it's not a process of baking that's permitted on yom tov. You can't leave it now without doing anything to it, because it's going to come chametzik. And you can't get rid of it by burning it or giving it to a dog, because you can't burn or eliminate kachem on yom tov. So on that, the Mishnah brings three different opinions. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Lo yitikru l'ashem, don't designate it as a name, as calling it challah, which then will give it the sanctity of challah, ad sheti'afa, until you first bake. So first what you do is that each piece of matzah, whatever it is that you're baking, is fit to be the challah one. And that is, you're separating from each one a little bit. And then after you bake, if you want, then you could take off a complete challah and say, this is the one that's going to be the challah for all these doughs I made. As the Gemara teaches, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the basket, that when you're taking out all the doughs, all the breads or matzahs that you bake from the oven, and you put them all into one basket, they could all join together for the chiyuv of challah, and you could take off one for the rest. So therefore, you avoided the problem, because what happened is that it wasn't challah yet, and therefore you could go ahead and bake each one, because it's fit to eat. You could bake matzah on Yom Tov to eat. And therefore, only once it's done, now it's already not going to be a problem of chametz, because it's already baked. Then you say, oh, this matzah is for the kohen, and he's not going to be able to eat. He'll have to burn it after Yom Tov. But there's no problem about holding on to it for Pesach, because, again, there was no problem of baking it, because when you did, it wasn't a challah yet. And afterwards, it's not going to become chametz. The second opinion in the Mishnah is, Ben Maseir Eimer says, no, you don't have to go ahead and do this baking, and then only afterwards call a challah. Tatl B'tzayinim, just put the dough in cold water. And that's the second option that we had said regarding there's a problem of holding on to it because it's going to become chametz stick. He says, no, it's not a problem, because if you put it in cold water, it's going to prevent it from fermenting, from leavening, and therefore it's not going to become chametz. Amri B'Shua says, he says a third opinion. We continue on to Amit Beis. He says, there's no such a problem here whatsoever. This dough, you can let it just sit. Because this is not the type of dough that we would be violating the prohibition of not to see or not to find chametz on Pesach, as the Gemara explains, because this dough is not his once he calls it challah. It's not his. It's the kayin's. And the Torah tells you that lo yira l'cha, you should not see, which means say shalcha, you're not allowed to see your own chametz, and this is not his own. And it's also not his friend's chametz because he never yet gave it to the kohen. So it's nobody's. If it's nobody's, so what? I could see chametz in my house. It's only my chametz that I can have. But once I call a challah, it's not mine and it's not the kohen's. So therefore, there's no problem according to Rabbi Yeshua about even if it just sits there and becomes chametz. Rather, el mafrishasa umanichasa de'er. You leave it there and up until the evening, v'mechmitzachmitz, it becomes chametz stick. It becomes chametz stick. Like the second option of just holding on to it is not a problem because we don't care if it becomes chametz. So now the Gemara wants to clarify this machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding if it seems like that they're arguing about if we're concerned about becoming chametzik. Rabbi Elazar doesn't let it become chametzik. He has to find a way to get away from that. Obviously, he considers it that it would be considered your chametz on some level, and therefore you have to find a way that it shouldn't become. Rabbi Yeshua is not concerned with that. It's not your chametz, and therefore let it become chametzik. So now the Gemara says, let's see what they're arguing about is regarding the pleasure of the gift. Of the gratitude that the person that you're giving it to will have towards you, which that's a small amount of monetary value, as the Gemara learns in the Braisa, Masechtas Becharis Daf Chav Zayin, that a Yisrael, a non-kohen, is allowed to tell his friend, here's this seller, I'm giving you some money, and give all your truma to my grandson that's a kohen, and although I'm a Yisrael, but my daughter married a kohen, give him your truma, and that's what's called Taivas Hanah, that right of ownership. Although he doesn't own that truma, but he could choose which kohen he wants to give it to, that this Yisrael has nechala, he can give it to whatever kohen he wants. And he could take some money from his friend that has a grandchild, a kohen, or a kohen, to say that I'm going to give it to you. So that has monetary value. And therefore, that is what the machlekes is. The Eliezer Sabra, Tevas and Naamamin. But as a whole, that ability to choose who you want to give this challah to has monetary value. And therefore, we're going to consider some element, at least, of this challah as his. And hence, you're going to be ivory if it becomes chametzik. And that's why he said that you have to find some way to bake it first and then call a challah later, because holding on to this dough, although the actual challah you cannot consume, but you have some type of monetary value of Tevas and Naamamin. However, Yeshua held that this ability to choose who you give it to does not give it a monetary factor, and therefore it's not his own chametz, and therefore he's not warned about it. And there's also no problem of the halachas of pekadin, of holding on to a deposit of someone else's chametz, because again, it never went to the kohen yet, so therefore it's not the kohen's either. So it's nobody yet, and therefore, according to Yeshua, there's no problem about becoming chametz. Another Gemara says, "Loi, it's not true. They're not arguing about if we consider tayves anah as mammon or not." Everyone agrees that the fact that I could choose who to give it to doesn't mean that this is my object and I have monetary value invested in this. It's not my chametz. It's whoever's kohen is going to get it. That's whose challah it is. Rather, what they're arguing about over here is based on the svara of hoil, of sins. And that is, the Rebbe Eliezer holds that you're going to be over on this dough if it becomes chametz, because Amrina, we say, since the person could petition regarding this dough, and that is, although it's challah, he can undo its challah status, and it's going to go back to its unchallah status, it's going to go back to its tevel status, and therefore then it becomes his own. And that is because, as Rashi explains, every vow, every hektish, every truma, which if it became sanctified by the person's verbalization, as in the case of challah, he says, this should be challah, the person could go ahead to a chacham and he could uproot what he had designated and then becomes back his. And therefore, mamaynehu, therefore we view this challah as his own, and therefore he's going to be over on it on chametz, because he can then later choose to say, you know what, I don't want this one to be challah, I'm going to matter what I said, when I went to the chacham, I undid it, and make this one challah. So therefore we still view it as somewhat his own, that's why it's his and he's over. However, Yeshua says we don't say hail. And we don't say that since. It's not, what do you mean since? It's ultimately now it's not yours, so therefore you're not over. And therefore, on this chametz, it's not going to be over again, because we don't, as it is right now, it's not his. However, as Rashi explains, there is another machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. However, regarding the baking, if he were to bake this, he would be over, because one of the doughs, at least, is not his own. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that you could bake, which is his approach to doing this, first bake and then later designate it. Because he holds that one does have the ability of Hoyle of Itchalala, that we view it as in its status of what we could do, and therefore we view them as all his, and therefore again that's another component that there's the machloika. So one is regarding the actual halach of Hoyle, do we view this as the person's chametz or not? Trying to be sure we don't view it as his chametz, because since I could ask, I can undo it and make it not and make it back mine again, that doesn't make it mine. Because Rabbi Elazar, we consider it as his, and therefore it would be a problem of chametz, and therefore related to that would be the same machloika regarding if we can go ahead and bake it. Elazar says you can bake it because on some level we view all these doughs as yours, even though one of them ultimately is not yours, so how can you bake it? It's not for Yom Tov purposes, but because of that we do view it as his, and Rabbi Shu holds it's not, and therefore he doesn't give that option of baking and then later calling it challah. He says leave it and becomes chametz, not a problem because it's not your chametz. Now the Gemara continues with a similar machlokes regarding this halachic principle of hayil, of since. Do we say that since I could or it could be that we view that as even as a viable option right now and that we see that reality? So the Gemara says, Itmai, we learned, Ha'ifim Yom Tov L'chol. Someone bakes from Yom Tov for a weekday. That is, after he finished eating all his Yom Tov meals, where it's obvious that it's not fit for him on Yom Tov, until the evening time, that he's definitely not going to eat anymore. He already ate as much as he needed, and the evening is going to be weekday. So this that he's baking now, we have a machlekes. Rav Chisda Amalekes. Rav Chisda says he gets malchus because of loisiyasa kamalacha. You shouldn't be doing any malacha, and baking is not allowed. It's one of the lametes malachas. We only allow it for eichel nefesh, for eating purposes on Yom Tov. And here where you're full already, you're obviously not making it for Yom Tov. You're making it for the weekday. That's forbidden. That's not eichel nefesh. You get malchus. Rabba Amma Einalekes. Rabba says you don't get malchus. And the Gemara explains, based on this principle of hayil, Rav Chisda Amalekes says you get malchus. Lo yamrin in hayil. We don't say that since umekali la'archim, that if guests were to come, who would need this bread today, even though I'm full already, but maybe guests are going to come. So chazilei. So therefore, we say that it's fit. We don't say that. We don't say that since if guests would come, you know, technically it would be something that I can make, but ultimately you're making it not for that, and therefore you're going to be chayv malchus. Rabba Amayna Lekes says you don't get malchus. I mean hayil. We say hayil. That technically, since if guests would come, it would be viable for them. Therefore, even now, we consider it as something of Eichel Nefesh purposes, and you won't be Chayiv Malkus. On that, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Rav Chisda, Rabbi asked Rav Chisda, Lididach, according to you, the Amrit lo yamin hoyal, that you said, we don't say this Svara of hoyal, and that's why you said that there's Malkus. But then, Heich Eifin me Yom Tov l'Shabbos. We know everybody bakes food from Yom Tov to Shabbos. How do we do that? If not, obviously you have to say like me, that we say that since if guests would come, and that is like my svar is that then you would say that it's fit for the entire Yom Tov, even though we're definitely cooking for Shabbos. But it doesn't make a difference, since technically it could be, I could be making for an army that could come, and it would be for Eichel Nefesh. That's why I could make from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But according to you, that you don't say Hoyel, once someone finishes afternoon Yom Tov meal and he's not hungry anymore, how could he make food for Shabbos? Samalei, and now he responded, that's Mishum Eruvei Tavshil. That's based on the rabbinic injunction of making this Erev for cooking, which allows a person to go ahead and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But on that he asks, Rabbi asks, Mishum Eruvei Tavshilin, Sharina Nisur Deiraisa? Because of a rabbinic injunction of Erev Tavshilin, we permit an Issur Deiraisa? We never find that. And that is because this is a regular full-fledged Issur Deiraisa of cooking on Yom Tov. It's one of the Lametes Malachas. It's not, and the only way you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is for Eichel Nefesh, and this is not for Eichel Nefesh, it's for Shabbos. So how can you go ahead and, based on Erev Tavshilin, do an Issur Deiraisa? So Malay, on that he responded, Midai Reis, it's not true. Min HaTayra, Tzarchi Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov. The needs of Shabbos are allowed to be done on Yom Tov, as the pasuk in Shemos Yud Beis says, Ach eshi yochel chol nefesh, that whatever is necessary for eating on Yom Tov. Now, Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rashi explains, has the same Kedusha, because they're both called Shabbos in the Torah. And therefore, just like you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov itself, you're allowed to cook for the next day, which is Shabbos. However, Rabbanu who degrazed the big zera, the Rabbanu went and made a decree. And they said that if you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, then you're not allowed to go ahead and cook on Yom Tov for the following day, which even if that would be Shabbos. And the reason is, Shema Yomru, Eifin mi Yom Tov Avlachol, because then maybe you're going to say, hey, you can make from Yom Tov to the following day. Although that's Shabbos, they're going to think you could do the same for a weekday, which that would be Asim and Atayra. However, Kivan dat Zechu Rabban Eruv Tavshilin, but once the Rabbanan mandated this requirement of making your Erev Tavshilin when you are baking from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Islei Kera, then it's recognizable that, hey, it's not just so obvious that you could cook from Yom Tov the next day. It's because you made Erev Tavshilin. Oh, Erev Tavshilin is because, oh, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you're allowed to really minat Torah, and therefore, the Erev Tavshilin reminds us of that, and therefore, people are not going to come to be cooking from Yom Tov to the weekday, and hence, that's why we're not concerned. But it's not that a Rabbanan is allowing Deiraisa, because minat Torah, really, one is allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It's only Rabbanan that you're not allowed to, but Erev Tavshilin, then it goes ahead and reapplies that a heter of cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So Esavis, he continued asking, Behema hamusukenes, an animal that's in danger of dying, and therefore the owner wants to go ahead and slaughter on Yom Tov, that it shouldn't be, it should die, and that he's going to have a total loss. So on that, the Braisa says, lo yishchut, you're not allowed to slaughter the animal on Yom Tov, unless if you could at least eat a roasted piece of meat of an olive's volume worth. And that's Rashi says the reason why he's picked roasted is because that's just the easiest process to go ahead and get a cooked piece. When it's still yomtib, before it gets dark, before it's not yomtib anymore. And that is, there should be enough time that you could skin the animal, cut a piece the size of a gazais, and roast it and eat it. Then if there's that amount of time, then it's permitted. And that what sounds like, even if you're not going to eat of it, which that's what the Gemara develops the question. It's mashma, yachay lechel. As long as you could technically roast a piece, a kazayis piece of meat, and eat it. Avagav duloy boy lemechel, even though he doesn't want to eat it. Now, bishlem ledi, that makes very well sense according to me, the amihal that I said, the svara of hayil. And that is, hayil vi boy lemechel motzi echel. That is, since if he had wanted to eat this kazayis of roasted meat, he could, there's enough time. So mishem hacha yishcha, now that's why I understand the brayse, that's why he could slaughter, because we go with the principle of hayil. El didachta amrit lo yamin hayil, but according to you that we don't say this principle of hayil, amay yishchid, hayil out of slaughter, but he doesn't need it to eat it because he already ate, and he's not going to eat. And if he's not going to eat, that's not considered something that's permitted to do in Yom Tov, it's not for eichel nefesh. So hayil out to go ahead and slaughter an animal to save you money that way. So amalei, so that Rav Chizda responded, mishum hefsid memayne. Because of the loss of the person's money, he's going to lose this whole animal if it doesn't quickly slaughter it before it dies and becomes a nevela. Therefore, we permit it on Yom Tov. So on that, Rabbi asks, Mishum Hefsid Memoina Shirin Yisur Daraisa? Because of a loss of money, we permit an Issur Daraisa of doing of slaughtering this animal, which is Asim Min HaTorah, because of the loss? How are we allowed to do that? So Amalei, and he says, yes, but you have to understand what did I mean when I said because of a loss of money, we're allowed to do it. I didn't mean to say because of losses, you can be Oiva and Issur Daraisa. Mishum Hefsid Memoina Gomar Beliboy. Because of the loss of money that he would have, if he wouldn't slaughter this and eat a kazayis of the meat on Yom Tov, he decides to force himself and go against what he had wanted originally, lechel kazayis, that he will go ahead and eat a kazayis of meat. Because if I don't eat that kazayis of meat, then I'm not allowed to go ahead and do this whole process of malachas and Yom Tov, because then it won't be echel nefesh. And therefore, it is considered like he needs the olive for Yom Tov. And because of that olive's volume of meat that he's going to force himself, he will eat before Yom Tov is over. Therefore, he has to slaughter the whole animal, because v'yef shle kezai is possible, ishchita. You can't have even an olive's volume of meat of an animal, which is the smallest amount we consider significant, to say that he's doing this process for echel nefesh purpose on Yom Tov to ultimately save the money that it shouldn't die and he'll be able to save the rest for after Yom Tov without slaughtering the animal, because you can't eat a piece of meat without getting the whole animal. And therefore, that is what the Braisa was allowing. But here Rav Chizda says, when you're cooking from Shabbos to Yom Tov, where you can't say that the person is deciding to force himself, and then you're right. That is, because of the principle of hayil itself, we would not allow an issur d'oraisa, because since you don't need it, of course you would not be able to go ahead and cook for Yom Tov to Shabbos like you want to say. The whole idea that we're saying is based on the principle of a ruvi tafshilin, which allows a person to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, however on Yom Tov to the weekday, that I disagree with you. I say you will get malchus, because the concept of hayil does not allow a person to go ahead and do that. And because we don't say hayil, and here by the case of the slaughtering, it's not hayil. It was rather to the actually, it was saying that a person would actually go ahead and do that and force himself to eat it, that it will be, in practical reality, eichel nefesh.